The scripture reading for this night you will find in the New Testament in two parts in the book of Acts of the Apostles and the epistle to the Colossians. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 1 to 12 and Colossians 3 the verses 1 to 17. Acts 1 to 12. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17, and that in connection with Lord's Day 18, that deals with the ascension of Christ. The word of the Lord. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but await for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore had were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. Colossians 3, the verses 1 to 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thus far the reading of Scripture. A congregation, if then you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So ends Lord's Day 18, as we just read from the Heidelberg Catechism. Text words at the beginning of chapter 3 of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Text words that I want to meditate with you tonight, primarily, as they are foundational for the exposition of Lord's Day 18. These words, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And congregation, I think that is an aspect of the Christian life that is not well known, and maybe for many of us, let us be honest tonight, not well practiced. The ascension of Christ. On Christ's birth, we have Advent and Christmas season. On Christ's death and resurrection, we have the Passion and the Easter season. But ascension. This aspect of the Christian life, heavenly mindedness, to set your heart, to set your mind, to set your whole life on heaven, not on the earth. Now, in our culture, I think people are not always positive about heavenly mindedness. And the positives of our language are to be down to earth, or get your feet on the ground. And down to earth person is a positive connotation. Someone who deals with apparently the reality of life. Someone that has no illusions or pretensions, and a person that is practical and realistic, down to earth. And even the phrase, those who are heavenly minded are of no earthly good. No, heavenly minded people are apparently not able to live life as it is. They are out of touch. But not for the apostle. For the apostle, what we find in this word this evening, true heavenly mindedness is positive. True heavenly minded people, as we have read from Colossians 3, they put to death that is earthly. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. And they put on, as the apostle urge, compassionate hearts, kindness and humility and meekness and patience and bearing with one another and forgiving one another. In other words, those who are most heavenly minded do the most heavenly, most earthly good. And therefore, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. three main thoughts for tonight: the need, the nature, and the practice. Or I can say, why we need to be reminded to seek those things above, what it is to seek those things above, and how to seek those things which are above. The first place, the need. The Gospel according to Luke ends with the ascension of Christ in the sight of his disciples as he led them out of as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Congregation, there is something transformative in the life of the disciples. Receiving a blessing of Christ, even when he parted from them, was carried into heaven, they worshipped him, praising and blessing God, and there was joy. Seeing Jesus transforms. You have tasted something of heaven, being directed to him, the ascended Christ. Seeing and tasting, experiencing Christ is something of another world, something heavenly. His goodness, his grace, his mercy, his peace that surpasses all understanding. In congregations, that can happen anytime, unexpectedly, at home, at work, in your business, at the hospital, the store, in your kitchen, a tasting, a seeing, a longing for the things that are above, where Christ is. Jonathan Edwards called it a surprising work of God. Being raised to new life, as we have heard last week, Lord's Day 17. That is a life that has tasted heaven. So Hebrews reminds us, having tasted the heavenly gift. And so was it for the Apostle Paul. Since then, if ye then be risen, being raised with Christ. This is how a Christian ought and should live. Scripture reminds us, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The need to be reminded also this night, if you then been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. Set your heart, your mind, your affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. The need to be reminded to be heavenly minded. Now you may ask, why is why this need to be reminded, even the summer months, this time of vacation? Congregation, focusing on heaven reminds us of the brevity of our earthly life. Life is short and eternity is long. Focusing on heaven prepares us for the certainty of judgment. It is appointed for all of us, each of us, unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Focusing on heaven reminds us to live a life as the apostle recommends in the verses 5 to 17, to take off the old nature and its practices and put on the new nature and its practices. To focus on heaven places your suffering, maybe your loneliness, maybe the challenges and concerns and cares of your life in perspective. A true Christian is by grace captured by an otherworldliness, captured by the ascended Christ, living life with the realization the best is yet to come. Congregation, how are we doing? How is our life? Let's be honest, we can be very busy with the things of this earth. Your studies, career, retirement account, your business, family life. Not necessarily wrong things. But how often have they overtaken the focus of life we are called for? To seek the things above. And seeking and setting our life on Christ. Do we live as spending our life as a journey towards heaven? And all the other things in life, they are supporting to it. Should we not set our minds and hearts on anything else but that which is heaven? Do we live as the psalmist sings, I have set the Lord always, from morning to evening, before me? I have set this risen and ascended Christ always before me. He who was taken up into heaven, with this reality in my life, as the Catechism teaches us, and continues there for our interest. Having this great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Is it not a reason the more to set our hearts on the ascended Christ, who is acquainted, sympathizes with everything that is going on in my life? He knows your situation that you are in right now. To seek the ascended Christ who alone, who lifts up those that are bowed down. Who alone, who upholds the widow and the fatherless. This God of our salvation. Do you live with that reality in your life? A life that is directed, that is seeking, and is setting a life to the one, Christ and Him alone. Is there no need to be reminded of that tonight? Since, if you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, and set your affection on the things above, and not on the things on the earth. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity writes, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escape or wishful thinking, But it is one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It is not meant that we are to leave the present world as it is. But if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who taught the most of the next. Is that it is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, they have to have become very ineffective on this earth. And then he says, aim at heaven. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. And if you aim at earth, you will get neither. Oh, congregation, how do we need a life that is captivated by heaven? Seeking and setting the direction of your life on Christ who is ascended into heaven. Our second point, the nature, what it means, seek those things which are above. Does it mean to escape life, or the reality of every day, or that you are always thinking of streets of gold, or having angels sing to you? Now, historically, up to the 17th century, the perfect happiness of eternity of heaven consisted in worship and in praise and adoration of God of Christ. A place, what we find described in Revelation 7, to be around the throne of God, to serve him day and night in his temple, and with the knowledge and seeing that he sits on the throne shall dwell among them, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That understanding has changed since the beginning of the Enlightenment. For example, if you read about the 19th century, say Victorian heaven, it was much more than a genteel and a well-mannered affair. And it had since become more and more an earthly idea. Even God and Christ are marginalized in this idea of heaven. But what is the main thing? What is the meaning if you then be risen with Christ? Seek those things that are above. Well, first congregation, until you believe by grace, that means to have an personal, experiential knowledge, God-given knowledge, you have been risen with Christ. Until that time, you are not heavenly minded. In fact, that you do that in a pious way or not, you think of all the things of the earth, and you seek the things of the here and now, and you set your heart and your mind on the things, but not on Christ. So the apostle says, you live in disobedience. And we can live in a church-going way and be very decent people. But if we are still outside of Christ, not been raised with Christ, it's a gripping reality, then you are not heavenly minded. Now, what does it then mean? If you have been raised to a new life, or as Lord's Day 17 instructed us last week, told us last week, have been made partakers of that righteousness which Christ has purchased. Think of yourself to be there where Christ is, the ascended and living Christ. Or as the apostle writes, your life is hid with Christ in God, hidden, contained in Christ. There is a safety and security in Him. And the word hidden, or hid, what is used here in the text, is somewhat analogous to what we can and cannot see in a flower. The root system is concealed beneath the surface of the earth, and how it derives nutrition from the soil and contributes to the growth of the stem and the leaves and the beauty of the flower. Its color, its fragrance, is something, a mystery. And likewise, those in Christ, whose strength and inner life are hidden from view, but whose kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forgiving one another, as the apostle writes in verse 12, are a witness of the work of God's grace within. Is your life hidden, hid with Christ in God? If you then be risen with Christ, it points to the essence of a true Christian, which is not immediately emulating Christ, though I am, or listening and loving Christ, though I seek to, or following Christ, though I desire, but it is in Christ. My life is in Him, that is united with Christ, in His death, in His resurrection. When we died and raised with Christ, we were at that time placed in Christ, and there we constantly remain. And so the text reads in Colossians 3, for ye are dead, this past tense, since you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God, if you then be risen with Christ. We could say what is true for Christ is legally true for you. You are in Him. The Father accepted Christ's complete work, and so He accepts you for Christ's sake. That is the gospel of Christ. That is the nature what it is. Christ is not just an example, but a substitute in His death and resurrection for all His children, where He lived a life that we ought to have lived and died a death we deserved. And He offers union and communion with Him graciously, freely, willingly, fellowship with Him to be in Him. As He prayed to His Father in John 17, I desire that they also, whom Thou hast given to Me, may be with Me where I am. And think for a moment the implication of that where I am. To have union with Christ's session, ascension. Congregation, it is as we ought not to live any part of our life here without the realization of being mindful and experience that we are in reality there. This reality of our life being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The realization God, rich in mercy, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whereas the apostle said, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Do you see it? Do you taste it? Do you live by it? Christ died. We died with him. Christ is risen. We rose with him. Christ is ascended, sits at the right hand of God, and we are sitting with him. And therefore the apostle cries out, who then can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Oh, seek the things then which are above, and set your affections, your heart and mind on the things above, and think and live your life, a life hidden in Christ there. Be heavenly minded in Christ, who has also promised, I will be always with you, even to the end of the world. Who has promised, maybe for someone in our midst who do not experience at this moment, maybe a season in life that you do not experience the presence of the Lord, and yet he has promised, the Lord is near unto them that are of broken of heart, and he is near to all who call upon him. As the Catechism reminds us in questions 47 and 48, Christ is not separated in his divine and human nature. Though with respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth, but with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Be heavenly minded in Christ. Without it, you cannot move on in life. After the loss of a loved one, after maybe hurt and pain in your life, maybe after disappointment and discouragement, but to be reminded, if you then be risen with Christ, remember, you are united in and with him. As I was reading while preparing this sermon, may the Lord help us to think more and more about the union and communion with the ascended Christ. It will do us good. Our third point, to practice to seek the things above. How do you do that? I think we all have busy lives. Family life. Maybe your marriage needs attention, or your children need attention, and your work. You cannot neglect your work. So how do? Daily. Practice seeking the things above and setting your heart and your mind and your affection on the things above, on Christ. In the first place, as we see in verse 2, by not seeking and setting your heart on things on the earth. The negative first. Do not seek. Do not set your heart and mind on the earthly, on the temporal things. In fact, verse 5 instructs us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Put to death, stop thinking and doing what belongs to your earthly nature. Lay aside, says the apostle in verse 9, like a garment that you take off, the old self with its practices. Now the temptation is, of course, and the danger is that I give you a list what you should not seek and what you should not set your heart and life on. But consider maybe these, say, diagnostic questions. What things in your life, if you would lose them, would be such a loss for you that there's maybe no reason to go on in life? What things do you turn to if things do not go the way you want or hope for? Maybe in your marriage or your work or church, or when things get difficult in your life, or when you are controlled by things in your life. Look at those things. What do you seek? Where do you set your heart and your mind on? Is your identity truly in Christ, in the things above? And consider these questions in the light of our text words. Christ is my life, says the apostle. My life is hid in Christ. But more, particularly in light of verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with him in glory. That is the future of all God's children. Is it then too much to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, to set your affections not on the things of this earth? To agree with the psalmist, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Congregation, when by grace your life is directed to the things above, your identity is in Christ, this realization, then all the other things of life will get their proper place. In your life of prayer, coming into his presence for Christ's sake, coming to the throne of grace, humbling, petitioning, pleading, only and because for Christ's sake. But it helps to prioritize the things of life, to recognize our need for setting our minds on the things above. Now you recognize at the same time that there are many competing claims upon our minds and our attention in our daily life. But to come to the Lord, says, Lord, open my eyes to see who thou art as the ascended Christ, who I am, what thou promises in thy word, to see the things of heaven. To practice the reading and singing of Scripture and become so more heavenly minded because you are saturating your minds with the things of God and the words of Scripture. To make time and to find a place where it is quiet, and to open your Bible and read slowly as you turn and to read and to turn every sentence into a prayer. Yes, practically together as husband and wife, together as a family, or alone, to truly meditate upon the word and ask the Lord how it relates to your family, to your children, maybe your singleness or your job or your vacation time, so that all of our lives takes on a Godward, a heavenward focus. That is practically to help to set our minds, our life on the things, on the heavenly things. To practice in our life moreover the words of the apostle, what we have read in Colossians 3, to put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bearing with one another, also as a congregation. And forgiving one another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which we are called to be one body and be thankful. That the word of the Lord dwell richly in us, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. That is heavenly mindedness. And whatever you do, also this new week, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When we seek the things that are above, and we seek that the ascended Christ is everything, also as a congregation, we will be a people for the world around us, in our neighborhood, to be known as a congregation, as those who are most heavenly minded and yet doing the most earthly good. I ask once more, how is it in your and my life? And therefore, lastly, practice then above all, often, to take refuge in the ascended Christ. To know and to live by this question 49 of the catechetical instruction, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven. And congregation, once again, you see, this is a book of comfort. This comfort that I do not belong to myself, but by grace that I may know that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. When I so often struggle, and struggle so much with the earthly things and thoughts, when I fall so short of seeking the things which are above. But there is one, the ascended Christ, who is my advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. There is one who takes up my cause, who pleads my cause, defends my cause, and is heard for his sake and his sake alone. My advocate, says the catechism. Is it not a comfort when I'm so busy in life with the things of time and sense? And that I live in a way, my life, that it seems that I live here forever. Well, I'm called by grace that I am on the way to live forever there. When I struggle with the temptations, and you know yourself which temptations you deal with, that you acknowledge them or rationalize them or minimize them. But this comfort to come with all your feelings of shame and guilt and your shortcomings and sin before God, and have no other pleading ground than Christ alone, who is your advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Do you see the advantage, the benefit of knowing Christ's ascension into heaven? Congregation, let us be honest tonight. Many in this tongue have no knowledge of knowing of ascension, of Christ's ascension into heaven. But you know. But do you live by it? Do you practice it? Coming at the close, another day of work, in the presence of the Father, with this unspeakable comfort. He has not dealt with me after my sins, nor rewarded according to my iniquities. But for Christ's sake, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's the first benefit of Christ's ascension. I have an ever-present advocate by the Father. The Apostle John writes, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that for an unrighteous. Oh, let God's people look back in their life. It gives such much reason to sing, great is thy faithfulness, pardon for sin, peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Second benefit is this, that we have our flesh in heaven, so says the Catechism, as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. This comfort that the ascended Christ has taken our flesh, the flesh of each of God's children, into heaven, that was for him in glory. And for us, a promise. A promise for each of God's children, those that go their way through life, sighing, with much trouble and distress. And those who go their way through life, singing, and with less storms. But they all will arrive in that country above, for Christ's sake, with soul and body. As that cannot be separated from the body, so Christ cannot be without his church. Now maybe by this time, maybe there is one who has to say, hearing those great benefits of the ascended Christ, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Or maybe there is another tonight who has to say, how can I practice to seek the things above? I have no strength. And I fail so many times. See then the third benefit of Christ's ascension according to the Catechism. Thirdly, that he sent us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things of the earth. Christ ascended, the Spirit descended as a corresponding pledge, a warrant, his Spirit. And that it is he who helps our infirmities. Yes, also in your life of prayer, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It is he, this Spirit, by whose power, his strength, that we seek the things which are above. It is he the Spirit who makes us heavenly minded, who regenerates, who renews, who revives, who reforms, so that by grace we are transformed and become by grace most heavenly minded, and so do the most earthly good. Yet by times, maybe those that are getting older, they recognize that there is a waiting, a longing to go home, to be delivered from self and sin, a longing for another country, that heavenly fatherland. As someone wrote back home, a war-torn country, but he was received in a country of peace. And he writes and he wrote, "I am not mourning over the old country. All the old that mattered have been drawn into the real homeland." And of course it is different as a real thing is from the shadow, or as a waking life is from a dream. The new land is a deeper country. Every rock, flower, blade of grass looked as if it meant more. I cannot describe it any better than that. But when you get there, you will know what I mean. But this I know. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land that I have been looking for all my life. That are a people congregation, that you are young or old, but you know this by grace. Having received the promises, we're persuaded by them, embrace them, confess that you are a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them, for you. They become struggling through life. He has prepared for them a city. And therefore, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen. Lord, will grant a blessing upon thy word. Things unspeakable. Sometimes we even cannot reach the ear, let alone the heart. But we'll take thine own word and work with thy spirit and grant a desire to long for that better country that is an heavenly, what thou hast prepared for such ones as we are. Lord, will remember us this new week as families, as older ones, as congregation, that we are more heavenly minded and do more good on earth. We wait upon thee. We wait upon Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.